I've asked Young Ed to preach tonight. I know he's going to be a blessing. So, Brother Eddie, you come. Preach us what God put in your heart.
I asked David to sing that song tonight for us. That's one of my favorite ones that he sings. And as you listen to him sing that, it brings back all the memories of missionaries in the past that stirred your hearts. And as many of them use that song and slide presentations and things like that. And some of my most favorite missionaries that came through always use that song. And it just brings back those thoughts of the people that they were trying to reach. The Lord laid this message on my heart a couple of weeks ago. And then preacher asked me last night if I'd come and preach. And immediately this came to mind. And I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. Tonight's message is entitled, Is the Mission Possible? Is the Mission Possible? There's a movie coming out very shortly here called Mission Impossible. But this message tonight is entitled, Is the Mission Possible? If you would, please turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Many of you know this as the Great Commission. Something that Jesus Christ, when He was in the flesh on earth, gave us this very commission that we were to do. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, I'll read one verse and then remain standing. We'll flip to one more passage and I'll read that and then we'll pray. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, it says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Back to the beginning of the verse, Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now I'll turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. We'll read one verse there. Acts chapter 17, and in verse number 6, it says, And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, Hear this, These that have turned the world upside down are coming hither also. One more time, And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These have turned the world upside down and are coming hither also. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, humble, and I'm asking your help and your guidance and your wisdom and your Holy Spirit's power on the message that you asked me to bring this evening. Lord, I can't do it. I know you can. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me. Lord, I pray that you would anoint the people tonight to hear and not only hear, to be doers. And I pray that they'd go out and with the messages that they've heard today in their Sunday school class and in the morning service and, Lord, even tonight, I pray that they'd take it throughout the week and I pray they'd make a difference in their lives. Lord, I believe they deserve something for coming out tonight and I pray that you'll give them a special blessing. I hope that they came expecting to receive one and I pray that you'll give it to them. And all this we ask in your precious Son's name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, the message is entitled, Is the Mission Possible? Is the Mission Possible? In Matthew chapter 28, God gave us the Great Commission. Many of you have heard this your entire lives. Maybe you've heard that for the first time. But the Great Commission telling us to go into all the world. That's a pretty daunting task if you ask me, to go into all the world. All the world. Not parts of the world, all the world. And then in Acts chapter 17, it was exciting to see that just maybe 50, 60 years after Christ had passed from this earth and he went up to be in heaven to prepare a place for us, there were a few men that turned the entire world upside down. It's very important that God gave us an example in His Word so that we would believe that we could do this also. God gave us a great example here. Men that were devout and they understood the Great Commission. Not only did they understand the Great Commission, but they took it seriously and they did it. They turned the world upside down. It's exciting to me. In 1886, a guy by the name of John Pemberton, can't even pronounce it, formed a medical elixir. I don't even know if I'm on here. Am I on? Is that on? He formed a medical elixir out of coca leaves and some other things. And John, he thought he had something that would cure brain diseases. He took it to the board that we had in the United States, and he tried to get it passed through, and they wouldn't pass it through. And finally, he found a guy with a kind of a broke down pharmacy that would sell kind of herbs and things like that, and he got him to sell for the first time in 1886 his medical elixir. John Pemberton believed that this would change the world. After he had it tested and finally made a little bit of money and had it tested, he realized that it had no medical value, but people really liked the taste. So John started to market this product, and John, about 4 to 5 years later, had found the name Coca-Cola, and he started selling it in neighborhood drugstores in Atlanta, Georgia. John, after a few years, they added carbonation to give it a new hip flavor, a new exciting thing that the younger people, the younger generation would like. And in 1893, it had been sold to Robert Woodruff, who announced to the world that Coca-Cola was in every single country. He actually said that in 1977. It was sold to Robert Woodruff's father. It was passed down to him. And in 1977, we're talking in 1886 it was formed. In 1977, the drink Coca-Cola had spanned the globe, had gone into every single country, had reached every single nation in less than 100 years. That is a pretty exciting story. With only having 3 or 4 owners, it was sold a few times. And with this man's dream, this Robert's dream, he reached the entire world with his product. And we ask, is the mission possible? Is the mission possible? Why is it that Coca-Cola, television, Tupperware, and many other things are so successful, but yet the commission that our God gave us on the earth, we can't fulfill? We're not even close. Why is it so important that we have an example in the Bible? It's so that we'll believe. Let me give you a couple statistics tonight. I spent a lot of time in trying to figure out these. And here's some statistics on the lost world today. There are 9 times as many unsaved people in the world as when Christ gave the Great Commission. Because we've grown so much, there's 9 times right now on this earth than there was when Christ gave the Great Commission. If you lined up all the unsaved people around the earth, single file, they would wrap around the earth over 30 times, and the line grows by 20 miles every single day. Unsaved people. Every day it grows another 20 miles. If you stopped all the births, all the deaths, and we won souls to Christ at the same rate that we won souls in the year 2000, it would take 320 years to win the United States to Christ and 4,000 years to win the world. I think we're failing the Great Commission. 350,000 babies will be born today that will never hear a clear presentation of the gospel. 350,000. 2/3 of the earth's population that is on the earth today have not heard the gospel. The average fundamental Christian leads less than one person to Christ. In a poll taken in 2000, the average fundamental Christian leads less than one person to Christ in their entire Christian life. 3 billion people right now have never heard the gospel. There are 6,000 languages in the world today. And I heard Brother Money say that less than 500 of them have a translated word of God. 6,000 languages, and 500 of them have all we've translated. approximately 3,500 fundamental Baptist missionaries. And there's 6,000 languages. We're not even close. As you look at what Christ gave us as our one great commission, the one thing He said, you must do this. You have to do this. This is the work I'm leaving for you to do. We're failing. Let me ask you this. Is the Great Commission possible? Is the mission possible? Do you believe that God would give us something that we cannot fulfill? Do you believe that? I've got a couple of points here this evening. And why I believe it's so important that we have an example in God's Word of the Great Commission being fulfilled so close to when Christ left. Number one, men have accomplished this feat with fewer resources than we have today. You think about what they had in Bible times. They had nothing else other than some pens and some parchment. They had nothing else other than their voices. They had nothing else other than some rocks to stand on and maybe some pulpits made of wood. And that's all they had to preach the Word of God, and they reached the entire world. Yeah. Look at what we have today. We have television. We have newspaper. We have billboards that we use. We have all types of mediums that would take the Word of God throughout our country, throughout our world, and we're failing at a greater rate than what we already have been. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. As I thought about this, as I prayed about this past week, I thought, Lord, why is this? Why is it this way? Why are there so many people that have never heard the gospel? Why is there so many that are not even being told? It doesn't seem fair that people would die. It says, yes, that they, through creation, they know who He, or they can know who He is, but without a preacher, how can they hear? Without someone to tell them, how will they understand? The Great Commission, we're failing at a great rate. And it's so important that Christ gave us an example in His Word, because they accomplished these things with less resources than we have. I believe there's three ways or three reasons why we're not accomplishing these, even though we have such great resources. Number one, we don't have the time. We don't have the time. You look at the thing that's in greatest demand today, it's time. You look at what we need more than anything, it's time. I can't tell you that sometimes when the sun goes down, you sit there and you think, man, if I just had another hour or two that I could get this or this or this done. Yesterday, I was thinking about our duplexes. They need mowed so bad. And we had the spaghetti dinner, and I thought, and I was laying in bed, and at 5:30 I woke up and I thought, I wonder what time the sun's going to come up, because maybe I could go mow a couple duplexes before I go to speak. You just don't have enough time. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough time to accomplish the things that we put on our plate. We bog ourselves down with everything that this world has to offer. We take our kids to Little League, and we take our kids to ballet, and we take our kids to 100 different things, and we are on committees and forums and all types of different things. We don't have the time. We don't have the time for Christ. We don't have time to tell our neighbors about the gospel. We don't have time to go across the street and tell our neighbor who we are and what we believe. We don't have the time. That's one of the reasons why we're failing the Great Commission. We don't have the time. Number two, we don't have the zeal. These men that changed the world, turned the world upside down, they had zeal unbelievable. They were willing to do things that we wouldn't even dream of. I think of Doubting Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas. But yet, Doubting Thomas, when he finally got it right, he reached the entire India. He went to India and he reached all the people, even though they said, you can't go there, Thomas. You cannot do this. You can't reach those people. You don't know their language. They're crazy people. They believe things that you would never understand. And yet he reached the entire country of India. There are many, many people that have reached the world. I think of a lady by the name of Margaret Stringer. We had the opportunity to listen to her at pastor school. She came from Tennessee Temple, and in the early 1970s, she went to a group of cannibals. Cannibals. There weren't even men that would go to these cannibals and proclaim the gospel to them, but yet a small, frail woman from Tennessee Temple University got a burden to reach this tribe who we now we support her. If you look on her wall downstairs, her story's down there, and her letter's down there. This woman, who they wouldn't even land the helicopter in there. They wouldn't even put the helicopter on the ground because they were scared that they would throw the spears into the helicopter blades, knock them down, and they would all be eaten. They wouldn't even land the helicopter. They made her jump from 5 feet off the ground with all of her stuff. She would jump, she jumped with all her stuff, and then they tossed the rest of it out and said, "See you later." This lady went in the country of New Guinea and won about 300 to 400 cannibals to Christ. After she won those 300 to 400 cannibals to Christ, she said she heard about another tribe right up the river, and they said you can't go there. We are bad, but they're the people that eat us. Now they think they're bad, and cannibals are saying someone else is bad. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But they said, "You can't go up the river. We're not going with you because those are the people that eat us. We were nice. We didn't eat you, but those people are going to eat you." You know, and it's kind of scary. But you know what she did? She got in a boat by herself, went up there. Within 2 feet of stepping onto the riverbank, was grabbed by these tribesmen, and they brought her into a hut. They tied her down. They started performing rituals on her to eat her. I mean, it was over for her. And for 3 hours, she proclaimed the gospel to these men as they danced around her, as they performed these rituals. And another 300 to 400 of these cannibals got saved.
Yep.
You know why? Because she had the zeal. There were many men outside in New Guinea that were missionaries at the time. They didn't have the zeal to go in there. A small, frail woman. If you're a woman tonight, if you're a single woman, if you're a teenager, a girl, and you believe that I couldn't do anything outside of what I could do with a man, you could do great things for God. Margaret Stringer did. She won cannibals to Christ. You can do great things if you have the time and if you have the zeal. Number three, we don't have the faith. None of us are willing to step out on faith anymore. We heard this great message by David Gibbs when we were in Hammond, and he talked about the impossible, and the preacher brought the message back to you. And he said, he as he was talking about the impossible, he said, the reason that we don't do the impossible anymore is because we're unwilling to step out on faith.
Right.
You know why we're unwilling to step out on faith? Is because we're unwilling to throw out plan B. In this day and age we live in, everything has a plan B.
Yeah.
We don't do anything without a plan B.
Yeah.
Levi and I told this story to a bunch of teenagers when I was doing a junior-senior banquet. Levi and I, we were out riding four-wheelers, and we saw this jump there, and we both believed that we couldn't get over the jump. It's called a double. If any of you ride four-wheelers, it's a jump that comes this way, it ends, and then there's another jump this way, and you have to jump, and you have to leave the air, and you have to miss this whole part in the middle on the ground, fly over that, and hit the backside of the jump so that you'll make it. Well, Levi and I both believe that you couldn't do it, but there's something inside of a man that when you say you can't do something, you just can't help but try it. And so Levi and I, we were standing there contemplating this jump, and I said, "I'm going to do it." He's like, "Nah." He's like, "You probably shouldn't do that." He said, "I don't know that you can make it." He said, "We did it on a dirt bike, but I don't think you can do it on a four-wheeler." And I said, "Well, I think I'm going to try it." And he's like, no, don't. You don't want to try that." He's like, "You're going to get hurt." And he said, "Don't you remember you wrecked last week, and you don't want to do this again?" And I said, "It's all right, Levi. I think I want to try it." Well, so what we did is I didn't have faith because I believed I probably was going to wreck. I just couldn't stand the thought of not trying it. And so I said, "Levi, you have your cell phone with you, right?" I said, "You just get ready to call the ambulance. I'm going to try it, all right?" So we didn't even throw out the plan B. I was willing. I thought I was going to wreck, you know? And that's how our lives are. We don't believe that we can do something apart from inside of ourselves. We don't believe that God's really there, going to come down and do something miraculous in our lives. We believe, hey, we can only do something that we believe we can do in and of ourselves.
Right.
And that's how we live Christian life. Right. I'll step out on faith as long as in myself I can do it. As long as it doesn't require a miraculous thing from God coming down and Him interceding so that I don't look like a fool or an idiot because I stepped out, then I'll do it. But if it takes a little bit of faith, forget it. The reason why we had such an example was because men have accomplished this feat of the Great Commission with fewer resources than we even have. Number two, and God gave us, or God never gave us a command that we could not do.
That's right.
He He never did. As you look through the scriptures, God never gave us a command. I don't ask Skylar to go out and mow my grass. I don't say, hey, Skylar, would you go hop on the mower and mow the grass? No, because I know he would probably come back in missing limbs. Skylar, I'm sure he would be happy to do it. I'm sure Skylar would say, okay, I think I'll try mowing the grass. I think he would be happy to start the mower. Brent Foreman knows he likes to start things. He started Brother Brent's truck without Brent in it the other day. And Skylar likes to do things like that. But you know what? I don't ask Skylar to go out and things that I know he's incapable of doing. Christ, as our Heavenly Father, doesn't ask us to go out and do things that we're incapable of doing. He doesn't do it to us. In His Word, He gave us the great commission of going to all the world because He knew we could do it. He wouldn't give us the commission if He thought we couldn't do it. He wouldn't say, would you guys go out and do this, but you know what? I'm so sorry that you guys are going to fail. No, that's not how God works. He says, do this and do it with the power that I'm giving you. Here's all the tools I'm equipping you with to do it, and then you can get it done. That's how God works. And everything that God commands us to do in the Bible is, I don't know if this is actually a word or not, but it's doable. It's doable. Everything that God asks us to do is doable. And number three, the Great Commission is possible. I want to dwell on this thought for just 1 second. The Great Commission is possible. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Just a couple of chapters over from where you were. Acts chapter 1. I love reading Acts. As you need encouragement in your own ministry, sometimes in the teen ministry, you have weeks where you have 40, and then sometimes you have weeks when you have 15. And sometimes you need encouragement. And sometimes reading these chapters, you see how these men did it. And you say, wow, they have the God, the same God that I have. They have the same Holy Spirit's power that I have. You mean that I could do the same thing that they could do in my teen class? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. As I've been looking at that verse for the past couple of weeks, I realized for the first time that that's a roadmap. I realized that God just gave me an outline of how to reach the world. He didn't say, go reach the world and have fun doing it. He said, go reach the world. Here's how to do it. Let me show you how Christ would have us to reach the world. Number one, it says in Jerusalem. Where do you think Jerusalem means? Why do you think David would name our thing on Saturday, Team Jerusalem? Jerusalem means our immediate city of Ravenna. Jerusalem. First, we have to start with our own city, our own people, our people that live around our church. As the teenagers and I, the past couple of weeks on Saturdays, have been going out and we've been door knocking just around this immediate area, trying to generate some more business for the spaghetti dinner and passing out flyers and stuff like that, and also passing out tracts. I just kept going to house and realizing I don't even know this person. I don't even know this person. The church is literally within ear's distance of where they live, but these people will probably die and go to hell. And Skylar and I, Skylar and I, the Bible says go two by two. I didn't have anybody else, so me and Skylar went. And Skylar and I, we went, and we started knocking on some doors, and we started talking, and he was asking questions, and I said, Skylar, I said, do you realize that these people that can see the building that you go to church in, the building that some Sunday school teacher told you about Christ, some church that explained the gospel to you, and I was telling Skylar about, you got saved in this church, Skylar. These people right across the street, they might not have even known about Jesus. You know, and it just started to break my heart as I started going door to door to door. And as we got to this one lady down the street, I just couldn't help but explain the gospel to her. And she was very nasty and very mean to us. And, you know, it's how it goes. It's, you know, it's part of life. And so we're explaining to her, and he didn't understand why they would be so mean. You know, and I was trying to explain it to him, and I thought, man, these people are mean to us. They're unaccepting of the gospel, and all I'm trying to do is help her out. All I'm trying to do is love her and trying to give her what Christ would have me to give her. And it broke my heart as I was sitting there thinking, this lady's going to die and go to hell. And how many people from our church are going to continually go by her door and knock on her door. And then at the judgment seat of Christ, when she steps out into eternity, when she steps out into everlasting hellfire, we're going to look at her and say, why? I don't think we're going to say, we told you. I think we're going to say, why? Why? You saw it. We came. Why? The Great Commission is possible. First of all, we have to start in Jerusalem. Second of all, we have to go into Judea. Judea, I believe in this passage, was talking about down by the Jordan River, which may be explained an outer lying area. Probably the places our buses go. That's the way I like to think about it. I believe that Judea is probably Windham and Kent and Brimfield and Rootstown and all the surrounding areas around our church. Not only do we have to reach Ravenna first, that's his roadmap. Reach your city first, where you're at. Reach that place first, then reach out into Judea, reach out into the next outer ring of that, and then after that, reach out into Samaria. Reach out into Samaria, and I believe that is America. I believe Samaria, this was the other outer lying ring outside of Judea. What is outer lying outside of Ohio? It's America. One of the things that I will never forget is hearing Brother Jack Hiles preach at Rhymer Road, and I heard him and Curtis Hudson preach when I was just a little boy. And I remember my dad still had the tapes, and so I was listening to him. It was probably maybe 6 months ago. And one of the things that he said that I'll never forget is Jack Hiles said this, until we reach America and a revival starts here, we'll never reach the world. And I believe that. I believe that that fits exactly in with God's command here in his roadmap, that if we don't reach Jerusalem, if we don't reach Judea, if we don't reach Samaria, how are we going to reach the uttermost parts of the earth? Yeah, we can throw missionaries out there. Sure, we can throw a guy out here and a guy out there and a guy out there. But you know what? Until we reach this area, the whole world will not be reached. And as you look at the apostles, they went out and the apostles went out and they started with their city first. They evangelized their city. Then they evangelized the next city. And then Paul put them in this city and this city and this city and this city. And then once they reached those cities, then all of a sudden they started putting them all over the world. Then Thomas goes to India and wins India. And other men went into Asia. And there was a huge awakening for Christ. It was huge. The world was turned upside down. But there's a roadmap here. And there's a way to do it. But it started first at home. It started at home. Let me tell you this. If you come out on Saturdays for Team Jerusalem, I know that's starting up here very, very shortly. If you come out on Saturdays for Team Jerusalem, and that is your way to not witness throughout the week, it does no good. It's wrong. If you cannot witness throughout the week, it's wrong. We don't have time. We don't have zeal. We don't have faith. Even tell our neighbor. We don't have time. We don't have zeal. We don't have faith to tell our employees. Yeah. We don't have zeal. We don't have time, zeal, faith to tell our family. As David was singing, people need the Lord, I thought about a guy that we're building duplexes for. And man, I've witnessed to him so many times. And he's so close. He's just so close. And if I neglect the one time that the Holy Spirit says, okay, go get him. That one time, I've primed it, I've worked it, I've told him. And that one time, if instead of when the Holy Spirit tells me, Eddie, okay, go ahead, you got him this time, that I choose to talk duplexes, choose to talk land, choose to talk anything else, I'm going to miss out. And we miss out every single day on opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. How are we ever going to reach the world? We're failing the Great Commission. But yet we have the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ, He came down and the great comfort and the great guide that that God gave us to reach the world, we have. And Paul had. And we have the same one that Paul has. And the same power that Paul had. And that the disciples had. And that the apostles had. We have to reach the world. We have it to reach the world. One last story, and I'll be through. David H. McConnell, in 1892, decided he would become a Bible salesman. Thought, there wouldn't be a greater calling. I'm not a called preacher. Many of you guys may even know the story of this David McConnell. He sold Bibles door to door, and he'd go around and he'd sell Bibles, and he would give out the gospel while he sold these Bibles. Back then, they didn't have bookstores. They didn't have Borders and coffee houses and stuff like that. And David McConnell would go house to house. He'd show up at your door, and he'd say, "Hey, I've got Bibles for sale. Would you like to buy a Bible? Maybe you'd like to buy some for your kids for Christmas or whatever." And David McConnell sold Bibles. And about 3 or 4 years after that, near in the 1900s, he realized there wasn't much money in selling Bibles. He figured out, hey, you know, now people just aren't buying the way that they used to, so I think I'll start something else. And he started a company called the California Perfume Company, later known as Avon. McConnell, who had this desire to reach the world with the gospel, and with the Bibles he was selling, he actually put all of his money into it to try to start a distribution warehouse for these Bibles where he could have them all. And then he was trying to make other salesmen, and he realized he just couldn't make money selling. So he started this California perfume company, which later would be Avon. Now, you guys all know Avon. Avon is a worldwide product. But somewhere since 1892 and 2005, Avon has reached every single country in the entire world. They have over 3 million salespeople in effect today. And Avon's not even at the height that it was in the 1980s. I mean, no one, there's probably not half the people in here that even buy Avon anymore. But in the 1980s, a ton of people bought Avon. Everybody sold Avon, bought Avon. He reached the world. I wonder if McConnell, as he looked back, realized what he did. I wonder if McConnell, on his deathbed, realized that he reached the world with perfume instead of the gospel. Maybe there's a McConnell in here tonight. Maybe there's a teenager that's being called to the mission field tonight. Maybe there's somebody that you are supposed to be reaching the world. I believe that within our churches today, our fundamental Baptist churches, I believe there's people that are called that are sitting there not doing it. I believe that there's people in our fundamental churches that have the capability, have the money, have the process to reach the world, but yet they're not. You know why? Because I believe that if God wouldn't give us the Great Commission if he didn't believe it was possible. And if he believed it was possible, he would raise up people to do it. And I believe that there's people sitting in our pews today that are they're quite possibly the next great missionary, the next great evangelist or preacher, or somebody that can reach the world with the gospel. Are you David McConnell today? Maybe you're not reaching the world because you don't feel called to go in a mission field. Maybe you haven't given anything to missions this year. We support a lot of missionaries in this church. I believe that this is the reason why God has kept his hand on this church. I believe that's the reason why our church has been so blessed, because we support so many missionaries. We're fitting in line with the Great Commission.
Yes.
How can he not bless that? But I believe that there are people out there. You heard those statistics I talked about. 30 times in single file, we would wrap the world around with unsaved people. And it grows by 20 miles every single day. I can't even fathom that. But we have to do something. I can't give you an answer. I can give you the roadmap that God gave us in Acts 1:8. I can't give you the answer, though. I don't know. I don't know how to reach the world. I know how God says to start. But I believe there's somebody out there. And I believe there's somebody that can do something. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's you. And the fact of the matter is we're not selling Avon. We're selling Jesus Christ. We don't have to go out and sell Avon for a living. Jesus Christ is worth so much more than Avon perfume. Yeah. And if they can reach the world with perfume, we surely can reach the world with Jesus Christ. We're trying to sell them an eternal destination. We're trying to sell them a life of joy that is unfulfilled by anything else you can find in this world. We're not selling Avon. We're selling Jesus Christ. And maybe somebody needs to get right with God tonight. Maybe somebody needs to say, I need to do more. Maybe I need to go reach my neighbor. Maybe I need to go reach my coworker. Maybe I need to step out and maybe I need to say, hey, I'm supposed to be a missionary. God called me. I know it. I felt the prick. And now it's time for me to get things right with God. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time that you set aside your earthly wants, your earthly desires, and you step outside and do something for Christ. One quick last illustration, I am finished. As I sat and listened to Russell Anderson, one of the greatest men as far as making money and supporting works that there is in America today. He supported Jack Hiles. He built the entire empire, the Hiles Empire. And as I listened to Russell Anderson said a profound statement. He said, I have lots of money. But he said, God's given me lots of money because I'm careful with how I invest it. And he said, I want the best return out of my investment. He said, maybe today you don't have money. Maybe you do. Maybe you just have a life to give Christ.
Yeah.
He said, a life dedicated to Christ is worth more money than I could ever give.
Yeah.
He said, D.L. Moody said that if he would love to see just one man completely sold out to God and see if God could use him and change the world. He said, you may not have the money that I have to invest, but maybe you have a life. And he pointed at us and he said, don't just settle for something with your life that's not worth what your life is worth. He said, look what Christ invested in you. He said, Christ invested so much in you. He gave you his son to die on the cross. He said, God loved you so much that he gave his son for you. Look what he invested. That's how much you're worth.
Yes.
You're worth that much. He said, and you're settling for what you're settling for. He said, invest your life in something that matters. Invest your life in something that's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
Let me urge you tonight. Invest your life, your money, your love, your zeal, invested in something that is worth something and will reap rewards forever. With every head bowed and every eye closed, preacher, would you come?
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. What a tremendous challenge. Eddie, I've never heard you preach any better. Tremendous challenge to go out and do something for God. Maybe you're hearing God spoke to you tonight. Eddie's put that out. And I think we'll just stay with it. You'd say, preacher, God spoke to me tonight. There's something I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm not doing it. Pray for me. I need to do it. Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. Yes, sir, I see. Yes, God bless you. Yes, ma'am. God bless you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. What a challenge. The world's perishing. We've reached the world with Coca-Cola and Avon, but we've not reached them with Christ. I couldn't help but think why Eddie was talking about that too. Those two things, even though they're popular items, those commodities, they mean nothing for eternity. And people pay for those. What we have is things that will last for eternity, salvation. And what we're not actually selling, we're giving. It's free. Jesus paid for it. I think we just got to fall in love with Jesus and want people to have what we got. I really believe that, Eddie. We need some zeal. We need some excitement about what God gave us. And we need to have what we have. We need to want others to have that same thing. I'm going to pray. Maybe some of you would like to come to the altar. Maybe there's something you want to talk to God about tonight. If he's speaking to you, you come. Heavenly Father, thank you for the challenge. I knew last night, Lord, you told me, let Brother Eddie preach. I really believe he had a message from you. I believe that. I thank you for it. And Lord, I pray tonight, there might be some that could surrender for the mission field. There might be some that, maybe someone needs to give something. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But Lord, every person in our heart knows. You spoke to them, Holy Spirit. I pray they'll work and they'll do and they'll respond. And what you, they'll respond now to what you said to them. Lord, many raised their hand. Many raised their hand. I pray for every one of those men and women, both on both sides. Old people, young people. Lord, there was all ages were involved there. Lord, I just pray you'll work a work. The work of God in our hearts, I pray. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page are you going to sing, Dave?
375.
375. You just come right now. I want to make a statement, and I hope you don't misunderstand me when I say this. Brother David was talking to Brother Eddie this morning, and he made a statement to him, and I concurred what he said was true. I thought David William was a tremendous youth director. But when David was youth director, we had a bunch of rough kids. We had some kids that were great kids, but we just had some rough kids. And they were great kids, but we had more kids like the Rock'em Sock'em kids. They were good kids. Don't misread me. But this group we got now, they seem like they have a heart for God. Not that our kids love God. Don't miss that group that David. Please don't misread me. But they were a different personality. How many understand what preacher's saying? It was just a different type personality kid. And this teen group that we have now, I really see kids with a heart for God. Alicia, you learned that science. I was talking to Eddie today. Those people will come if you'll learn that. We just need to get people to learn and care. They're out there. A lady came yesterday. The spaghetti dinner was doing that. And I said, I've got a girl who can do that. She was out of town. She couldn't come. She wasn't there. And I told Brother Eddie, I said, Eddie, I'm going to tell you. What did you tell me? There was a church that you know that they had 40 come?
Yeah, in Maryland.
In Maryland. You pray for Alicia McDaniel because I really believe God wants her to do that sign. I'm putting her on the spot. But that's all right. And maybe he wants some of you to get in it too. It takes more than one. People, you got people like, because people get tired. They got to have like the reserves come in and keep doing it. Especially as long as I preach. We might need triplets. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get a deaf ministry going here?
Yeah.
And some deaf people would come and get saved.
Yeah.
Just take some people that would care enough to try to run and reach the world. Got to reach Jerusalem first.
Amen.
Who knows? We reach a bunch of people, deaf people. They might go out like Brother Hines. We have a missionary. It's over in the Philippines to the deaf. Somebody reached him one day, Eddie, and he became a missionary. He's reaching the world. I told the young girl to I'll quit. I want to say this to you. I told the Filipino girl yesterday, Ruth, Leo, Brother Leo's daughter. I said, and Emmy was there, I think, standing there. I said, you're so young right now, but before you know it, your life will be gone. I said, Naomi, I remember when I was young. I said, I remember when I was just a young kid and Rosie was real young with me. And, boy, I remember that. think I still got some years in me.
Amen.
But I've got, my best years are behind me. As far as my, I have less years to live. And I've lived more than half of my life. Are you understand what I'm saying? I'm glad as a kid that I said yes to Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm glad even though it killed me not to go to baseball practice and play with the guys, I went to visitation instead. I'm glad even though I didn't go, I'm glad I went to Bible college and studied instead of ran. I'm glad I put scripture in my heart. Because for 30 years now, kids, I've been getting to serve the King of Kings.
Amen.
And I don't know what I could have been, I don't know what I would have became in life, but I don't think I could have ever done anything far greater than serving the King.
Amen.
Christ, the Son of God. I made a lot of mistakes, but I did, the one mistake I never regretted, I don't ever regret serving Christ.
Amen.
Give your life to Christ. Give it all to Him. You'll never regret it.
That's right.
And believe it or not, if He doesn't come in your, I believe He will come in your lifetime. But if He doesn't, and when you get to the age of the silver hair, you'll look back and you'll say, I'm glad. I'm glad I went to church on Sunday night. I'm glad I went on Wednesday night.
Amen.
I'm glad I worked the bus routes and the vacation Bible school. I'm glad I did the Sunday schools. I'm glad I did that. Because what we do now really matters for eternity. Not just for us, but all of the lives that we touch. We got all excited this week about the Cleveland Cavaliers. The game is no doubt over now, and they've probably lost. But it wouldn't matter if they won or lost, because it means nothing to eternity.
That's right.
Even though preacher was screaming, yelling, you know, come on. Boy, if we would exercise that much energy for the kingdom of God. See, I know some baseball stats. But I also can quote you a bunch of scriptures, too. And my scriptures are more important than the baseball stats. That was a great message, Eddie.
Amen.
Man, Lord's really working in you.
Amen.
He's becoming a real preacher, isn't he?
Amen.
That's exciting. All are blessed to say amen.
Amen.
We're going to play one more verse. I know it's late, but it's later than what you think. If anyone wants to come and pray, or maybe God's got something special in your heart that you need to do, you just come. You just come. I know many came already, but there's something that you that God spoke to you about, you just come. If you want to dedicate your life for the ministry, you come. Let us know about it. Tell us. Don't be ashamed of it. Amen. I thought of Jack Hiles, and I'll leave you with this. He was in a little small church down in Texas. And that little church produced, I think, I believe, my personal opinion, I believe Dr. Jack Howes was the greatest preacher of our day. That's my personal conviction. I believe he was the greatest preacher of our day. And I was so glad I got to be with him somewhat. And he came out of a little, just a little church out of Texas. Don't ever look down on the churches there that are not running thousands yet. Most of the time, Eddie, that's where all your produce, your big products come from. Your great ones, they raise up. And I think God's going to do something very special here with Brother Eddie's life.
Amen.
I can't tell you how much I love you, how I'm proud of you.
Amen.
I brag to your mom and dad, say about how good you and Misty were doing. And let them know you appreciate them. Amen. And I just want to tell you, I love each one of you. Sean, I sure love you, son. That big brother of yours. I know you're older, but he's bigger. And, God's good, isn't he? Let's do what we can. Bethel, let's do what we can this week to turn the world upside down. That's what I'm going to try to do this week, Eddie. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Bud Box, Bud, would you lead us in prayer, Brother Bud? Yes. Yes, I believe that. Yes. Amen. God.